Hey guys, my name is Crystal Kenny, and I'm in love with creating. All things artistic and imagination involved. I'm an American girl who chased her creative dreams all the way to Paris, France, making a living using photography. This podcast takes you inside the stories of all the artsy folks I've met along the way and gives you that extra push to discover your creative gifts. The desire to create is deeply inside each and every one of us, and I give you the tools and inspiration to find a new way of living a more creative life. This is La Vie Creative, the podcast. Claudine Hemingway is a descendant of famed writer Ernest Hemingway. We bumped into each other at a party and decided to team up and dive deep into French history, but with a twist, by bringing a spotlight to those lesser-known creatives in France. This is History with a Hemingway.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. If you want more bonus material and to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/lavie creative. And also don't forget to check out Amazon, where you can pick up my new book, Paris, A Life Less Ordinary. In the book, I talk about my creative adventures in Paris, from starting my business to being homeless, hello, starving artist, to how I met all these wonderful creative people. Don't forget to check it out on Amazon. And also thank you so much once more for listening and for your support. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Paris History Avec Hemingway, and today we are chatting about someone I have never heard of, which is the whole point of this podcast, I think. Some of the people I've definitely, you know, Coco's and things like that I've known, but today we are talking about Ninon de L'Enclos, and I'm curious if you've heard of her too, but of course Claudine's going to give us all the great information. From what I understand, she was a writer and a courtesan and a lover of the arts. So I'll let Claudine take it from here.
Yeah, I kind of love any of these stories that involves a courtesan.
I mean, how can you not? Fancy prostitute.
Fancy prostitute. Maybe they're the fancy life. Ninon de L'Enclos, she was born November 10th in 1620 in the Marais of Paris. And her father was Henri de L'Enclos. He was a flutist. He was a published composer. And he would sing. And he taught his daughter also how to do all these things, to play the flute, to sing. And she was the only child. And so at a very, very young age, he raised her, you know, here it's the 1620s. He raised her to, he let her study whatever she wanted. He let her read any philosophy that she wanted. She learned all about science. She spoke Spanish. She spoke Italian. And normally that stuff was not what you taught girls. Like,
oh, she had a cool dad.
Yeah. So he was pretty cool. So, but he, in 1632, She was just 12 years old. He was involved in a duel over a married woman.
Oh God.
Yeah. And he killed his opponent. And when he killed his opponent, they decided to exile him from France. So he had And so now she is left with her mother. And if there's one thing we've learned through these podcasts, is usually the mothers aren't that great.
No, the mothers are always the worst, it sounds like.
There's definitely lots of others in these things. So she was left with her mother, who was very harsh. She wasn't very loving. And, you know, her father kind of, you know, raised her almost like a boy, you know, as far as education at that period of time. But her mom saw an advantage to the fact that, you know, with her musical qualities, and decided to take her all around the Marais to all the different salons that were going on. And she'd go in there to these places and she'd sing and play the flute. And she became quite popular. She was just 12 years old.
She was a baby.
Just a young girl. Yeah. So she started, you know, I think she saw the world in a much different way than probably a teenage girl at that time would have. So her mom, you know, again, being a little bit, she wasn't quite so liberal in the raising of, as her father was. And back then, you know, you didn't have many choices as a woman. You were going to get married or you were going to be a nun. You didn't really get to have a lot of choices. So Ninon, from a very early age, decided she didn't think she was ever going to want to get married. She didn't really want to have that life. That's not what she wanted.
That's so shocking from that period.
I know. So to avoid, her mother marrying her off, she decided to go on out and lose her virginity.
Oh, wow. Go Ninon.
So, you know, because then that way, then she was, you know, unfit to wed. You know, that was scandalous. So she ended up losing her virginity to the Comte de Coligny, and her mother was so mad at her that she sent her off to a convent.
Wow. So total opposite. She's heading off to a convent because that's one way to piss mom off, lose your virginity so she can't marry you off.
Yeah. Now, yeah. So she's like, you're out of here. And her mom was, you know, a little bit more religious. Ninon definitely was not religious. She, you know, I think because she was raised by her father with, you know, so she saw science and all these other things. I think she had definitely different feelings about religion and from her mother, for sure. So she sent her off to this convent. Well, her mother died months later. So she was only there for about 10 months and her mother died. And so once her mother died, she was out of there. She got busted out and went back to parents.
So she had full control of her life again once her mother passed away. I guess she wasn't in contact with her father, or we don't know.
I know. I've never really seen anything about that they had anything to do with. She never had any contact with them. After that. But you know, when this was, she was about 22 years old when her mom died. So, you know, she was older. So, you know, she was 16, but she was 22. She goes back to Paris and she moves in with a friend of hers, a famous courtesan named Marie Delorme. And so she, Mallarmé taught her a few things.
I bet.
Taught her a few things about, you know, the life. And so she, the salon, because she was, you know, so she was pretty well known as a child for, you know, singing and playing the flute and going to these salons. And she had this way that she would just, people were just drawn to her. So she definitely used that to her advantage, because when she came back, the people, she started going to some of the salons and everybody remembered her. Like she was never forgotten. Mm-hmm. So that really helped her a lot too. So she ended up renting an apartment in the Marais, and she would use it only for her salons. And so she wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't live in these places. She would just hold it and she'd have these salons. But at the same time she was doing this, she was also giving lessons to men on how they needed to treat women.
What?
So how to flirt, how to woo them, how to, you know, and it, she told them that they needed to listen to women, not just talk about themselves.
She was so ahead of her time. So
ahead of her time. I mean, sometimes even right now.
I was gonna say, she should be giving those lessons now. Where are you, Nina?
Exactly. But then if some of the men had, you know, a hard time, she would take them to her bed and she would, you know, then give them more lessons on how they needed to treat a woman.
Courtesan.
And then, but she would also do this for women too. So she was also teaching women how to own their sexuality, how to flirt back with men, how to be, you know, interested, but, you know, but take some ownership of who they were as themselves, which again, 17th century.
Way ahead of her time. She was a natural at this, teaching people how to do this.
Yeah. So way ahead of her time. But she ended up starting a relationship with a man who was the Marquise de Villarceau, Louis de Mornay. And in this relationship, she ended up having a son. And so in 1652, she had a son, Louis-François de Boisère. And she moved out of Paris to Villarceau with the father. And she stayed out there for 3 years. He was a painter and a soldier, but he was also quite the womanizer. Like he loved ladies.
He loved ladies.
And he served some time. He ended up going to the Bastille. He got sent to jail for seducing a virgin.
What? You can go to jail for that?
Back then, apparently you could.
Interesting.
It's crazy times. So she's out there. She's, you know, they're raising their son together. But she only stays there 3 years. And so after 3 years, Ninon is like, forget this, I'm going back to Paris. So she leaves Paris and she leaves her son and his father back behind. And she goes back to Paris and he is so distraught that she is gone. He goes to Paris to see her and is like begging, you know, take me back, come back, you know, live with us. And she said, you know, no way. And so what she did in front of him was she had this long, long hair and she cut it all off. Like just cut it off and gave it to him.
She had a Britney moment.
Yeah. Britney totally.
Britney Spears, guys. She shaved her head, if you didn't
know. Totally had a Britney moment. So she cut off her hair and gave it to him. And basically was just like, here, have this, but you're never going to have me back again.
Well, thanks for the hair, lady.
No. Started like, if she turned it into this like short little bob. I mean, it was kind of like some of the pictures and the paintings I've seen, it's like a little bit shorter than mine. And it was, became quite the fashion.
Like, so she started a new style.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a little longer than the guillotine look that Marie Antoinette later.
Oh, God.
but it was still like, became quite the fashionable thing because, you know, all of a sudden now here's this glamorous woman that most people know has short hair.
I love everything about this woman.
I know. She's pretty amazing. So the father, the Marquise, ended up taking up with the poet Paul Sarson. His wife, Francois, and her husband ended up dying. And so she, for 3 years, had this affair as with Marquise after Ninon did. She ended the relationship. And then the next year she was at the court of Versailles and she was the secret wife of Louis XIV, the Madame de Maintenon.
That's wild.
Which we're definitely going to have to do an episode about her too, because she's
pretty. Yeah.
But Madame de Maintenon also was drawn to Ninon and, you know, would see her in Paris and see her at these salons and, you know, just was kind of fascinated with her. She wasn't very happy with, Maintenon was like very, very religious and Ninon was very not.
Yeah, obviously.
So she kind of had a problem with that, but she actually also, you know, ended up introducing her to Louis XIV. And so Ninon and Louis XIV, you know, kind of had this friendship and he actually would sometimes seek her counsel out when other, you know, the other people surrounding him, he didn't want to listen to him anymore. He'd ask like, what would a very famous quote would be that he'd always say was, what would Ninon do?
That is huge coming from the King of France. You're like his consultant.
Yeah. And to listen to a woman at the same time and not be trying to better her, at the same, you know,
especially for a king like that, who was like, wow,
that's
crazy.
For the Sun King.
Yeah.
So, but Ninon, when she left, she left her son with his father. She made him promise that he would never tell her son who she was. Oh. And that she didn't really want, you know, anything. She didn't want children. She didn't want any of that in her life. So one day, Louis, her son, comes to Paris and ends up meeting her. And, you know, he comes to the salon and he sees her a few times. And then he decides that he's madly in love with her.
Oh, whoops.
Yes. And so he goes to visit her one day and he tells her, you know, I'm in love with you and, you know, all of this stuff. And Ninon at that point she finally had to tell him. She had to come clean and said, you know, you can't be in love with me. I'm your mother.
Oh, gross. So, wow.
So, yeah. So it gets worse. So then,
I mean, it kind of makes sense that he loved her because maybe somehow he knew it was his mother deep down, but it was like, that's a different kind of love.
Yeah. I'm sure he had this thing of like, I love her, but I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So upset. He left her apartment, walked down on the street, shot himself and died.
What?
Yeah.
That's so dramatic. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if he just known he was, you know, I'm your mother, but don't ever contact me. Maybe he could have gone on, you know, with his life or who knows. I'm sure.
That's so tragic.
It was so sad. So sad. So, but Ninon, you know, she's quite the courtesan now. She has quite the long, long, long list of lovers. She had a rule that she had a 3-month rule. That she would never take a lover for more than 3 months.
And because after that, they would get too attached.
Yeah. 3 months was up, they were out. I mean, it's kind of perfect time.
I mean, I agree. If you're just looking for a lover, a side piece, you don't need more than 3 months.
3 months, that's good. So she, you know, she did this and most of the men were, you know, usually just fine with it. You know, they were just like, okay. And, you know, she was like becoming a very, very wealthy woman at the same time. Attracting quite a few very high ranking gentlemen, but she separated the men into different groups. So she had the prayers, the martyrs, the whims, and the favored.
And what's the whims?
The whims, yeah. Those are maybe the 3 days. Maybe they were 3 days.
Oh, okay, got it.
So the favored were the ones that were allowed to come to her bed.
So
take that, you know, those ones she could take to her bed. But she had different, Jean de La Fontaine, who is the very famous fabulist in France. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. in America, it's kind of the equivalent of Aesop's Fables. He, you know, wrote all these fantastic, I've written many posts about him. Charles Perrault, who also was, his brother was the one that did the Perrault colonnade at the Louvre. But Charles Perrault was the one who wrote Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, oh. Little Red Riding Hood. He was one of her lovers. Fontenelle, Henri de Sévigné, who was his wife, was Madame de Sévigné, who will do it. We should do an episode about her too. She was pretty fascinating. And then also later, his son, Charles.
Interesting. They were sharing the same courtesan.
Yeah, a little weird. So,
yeah, gross.
But she had quite this long list. Molière, the famous French playwright, she was very, very close acquaintances with and would help him with his plays. When he had a play that was going and it was going to be the Comédie Française and there was a problem with it. He was trying to work on it and it was going to be pretty controversial. He like went to her and she like helped him and, you know, finessed the play. And so she, you know, she was a really trusted advisor to a lot of people.
Big deal people and men at that.
Yeah, in bed and out of bed.
Yeah, I mean, she really had something special going on with her.
She did. So she, you know, in Paris, she was just, you know, she was kind of the belle of the ball. And she, you know, everybody would want to come, anybody who's anybody that wanted to come to her salon and just be even just around her in the Marais. And a few of them, of course, would, you know, stay and get, you know, acquire her attention, mm-hmm. and become her lovers. But in 1656, Anne of Austria, who was the mother of Louis the 13th, said she wasn't pleased with her influence. Mm. And decided to have her locked up.
Oh, perfect. So now she's going to jail for being a good lover.
Yeah. So she's back to a convent.
Boo. This is a different kind of convent.
Yeah. So, and you know, Ninon was against religion and Anne was very much for religion. Mother Louis the 14th. She, you know, was, you know, Anne of Austria was going around Paris and all over France, basically building churches and abbeys and all of these places just because she was thankful that she ended up getting pregnant. So here's Ninon, you know, touting how women should be treated and how men should treat them and, you know, turning her nose up to religion, and Anne was not having it.
Yeah. And I'm sure she got a reputation with all those famous names.
Yeah, for sure. So she goes to a convent. She's out just east of Paris at Lagny-sur-Marne. And while she was there for a few months and another queen came to her rescue.
So, a queen saved her from the convent.
Yeah. Christina, who was the queen of Sweden, you know, had heard about her and they had been exchanging letters and things. And so she found out that she had, been locked up. And so she pleaded with Cardinal Mazarin to let her out.
Interesting.
She didn't deserve to be locked up and to just let her out. And so he did. He ended up letting her out. So I'm sure Anne of Austria was not pleased with that situation.
She had some powerful friends, that woman.
Very powerful friend. So she was back in Paris and she, but while she was in the convent, she wrote a pamphlet called La Coquette Vengée, The Avenged Coquette. And she ended up smuggling this out in her undergarments.
Love it.
Yeah. That, you know, pinning them in, or did they have pins in? I mean, did they have
pins? I doubt it. I'm sure she just shoved it in there.
Yeah. So in this little pamphlet, you know, she had all of her thoughts and, you know, about, you know, men and women and how everybody should be treated. She believed that there was no difference between a man and a woman. It was just education that made them different.
She was so ahead of her time.
Yeah. Like she was really into equality in the 17th century.
That's wild.
Yes. Yeah, so when she came back to Paris, she ended up starting her salons again, but she stopped taking any new lovers in her courtesan life. So she kind of put a halt to it for a little bit, but she did still kind of keep some around and she still entertained men until her 80s.
Eighties?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And it's amazing she lived that long, because can we talk about like STDs? I mean, right. How did she protect herself? She was basically, you know, a prostitute, and I guess she was using protection to not get like syphilis.
They must have, because back then too, it's like, you know, there was all sorts of things running rampant.
Yeah, that killed a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the years of the impressionists and all of the syphilis. I don't know if they had syphilis back there in the 17th century, but I'm sure they had something like it.
Yeah, something scary. That's crazy. So she lived into her 80s and was still entertaining men. She was definitely a lover of men.
She was. But she said that, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, she seduced people with her intelligence. She was incredibly smart and she was incredibly witty. And, you know, she wasn't just this woman that just sat there and, you know, sat there and be pretty and not say anything. Like, she definitely was very outspoken with her beliefs and her thoughts. And, you know, I think that drew a lot of people to her because it was so different for that time.
For sure. I mean, she was, and also, like, I love that she was coaching men and women on how to date and how to be better lovers.
Again, we still need that.
Yeah. Write the book, lady. Write the book.
Yeah. So, she never wanted to get married. She was fine with living her life the way that she did. You know, she never really wanted to have children. She had she just had that one son. I read a couple things that she had other children. But I only read that one place that said that she had other ones, and everything else pretty much says she had one child. Mm-hmm. But back then, again, like we were saying, you know, there's not a lot of protection. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So, and also I love that she had these salons. Like, she rented a place just to have salons. Like, that meant she had money also to do something like that.
Yeah, she did. And then she had one that was on it was at what today is 36 Rue de Tournelle. And every single day of the week from 5 to 7, she had a salon until she was in her 80s.
That's so crazy. Every single day.
Yeah, every single day. And at first, you know, a lot of them were, you know, especially then were men that only came because that was, you know, only really allowed. Women weren't really allowed to go to things on their own without being accompanied. And so, but then eventually it would be a lot of women would come. And, you know, again, like Madame de Maintenon and all these other pretty, you know, the Queen of Sweden.
Yeah, good friends to have.
Very influential people were coming to her for her, you know, to talk to her and for her guidance. She did die when she was 84. And she was very wealthy, and she, you know, she's very unknown to a lot of people. But in France, you know, there's a lot of she's pretty well known to French people.
French people are more aware of her.
Yeah, of her and what she did. But when she towards the end of her life. The son of her accountant, she ended up meeting the son of her accountant. He was just 9 years old. His name was Francois Marie Arrol. And she ended up in her will, leaving him a bunch of money so he could buy books. Well, we know him today as Voltaire.
No. What? That goes full circle. That's fascinating. And she left all this money to him just because it was her accountant's son?
Well, she left some of her money to him to buy books and things like that. I don't really know what happens, you know, what happens back then when you don't have heirs or anything like that.
Yeah. I guess the government takes your money kind of like today.
But I mean,
wow. She's
an amazing woman to live until she's 84 years old.
And what an amazing life. And she pretty much created Voltaire.
Yeah. She, you know, some of the biggest names, Voltaire, Molière, Jean de La Fontaine, like some of those are the biggest names in literature in France. And she mm-hmm. had something to do with them. I mean, giving guidance to Louis XIV and just, it's crazy.
That's fascinating. That is a life, a very inspiring life for sure. And she was obviously a very creative woman. She was writing, she was hosting salons and teaching people how to have better sex. So go her.
Yeah. And I think I've seen a few things about her. She had quite a few different beauty regimes that she was doing and would create different lotions and stuff to keep her, you know, skin looking young and beautiful. And I actually saw a few of them on the internet where you could actually like make the recipe.
You have to post that on your website. That's crazy.
On my website.
I love it. Well, thank you, Claudine, for talking to us about another fascinating woman in French history. And tune in next week, guys.
Thank you for listening to Paris History avec A. Hemingway. If you want to find out some more, you could always find me on my Instagram page, Claudine Bleu Blanc Rouge, and that's B-L-E-U, as in the French way to spell it. And each day I post a daily history lesson about a person or a place or something in Paris, or it's lots of fun facts. And then also at claudinehemingway.com, where you can also sign up for my newsletter there.